Good morning.
Good morning.
Visitors, young adults and college students, everyone here, everyone online, I am so glad to get to be together this morning because God has been speaking to me this week as I've been studying this text, and I have so much to share with us together today. I'm eager to share with you about God who is trustworthy and God's abundant grace. And here is why this is important for us today. As I was studying this week, studying the text, and as I was thinking about you, an image came to mind. And in the image, there was this large metal container, kind of like a trough, and it stretched all the way from that wall over there, all the way over to this wall over here. And it was a couple feet wide. And the trough represents how we understand God's grace. And in this image that came to mind, I was standing here and taking little sips out of the trough. Just a couple little sips of God's grace, and that's it. And then the next image that came to mind was all of you coming forward as though we were coming forward for communion, and everybody had a little straw, and we'd take one sip, and we'd go back to our seats. As though that's enough for us. I believe that God wants to help us see that God's grace is not only in the trough and in this room, it is filling this whole world. It is amid all of our circumstances, God's abundant grace. And I know it's difficult to see because there's so much fighting between countries and politicians and in our families and our friendships in the church. It's difficult to see the grace, but I believe that God is empowering us to live and breathe and walk in this world with grace. You know, we're not alone living with our straws. I apologize to every visitor. I have a corny sense of humor. I like puns. The song that came to mind was, "It's a Small World After All." Does anybody remember that song? We act like it's a straw world after all, as though grace is limited. Yes! Thank you, Lord. The other way that we sometimes do with grace is like we put it in a tiny little box and tuck it away in the attic as though we're going to give it to future generations later. You know, like we tuck it away with the china that's never used, that someday we present to our children. Oh, and here's your straw. You might need this. I'm not quite sure. I don't use it very often, but some people have said it's handy. Or sometimes what we do instead of the attic, we'll put it down in the basement, store it away for someday when we really need it. You know, not today when we're struggling, some other day when it's even worse, we might drop that box. It reminds me of the elderly Mennonite woman who'd canned all her life. She canned by her mother's side when she was growing up. And come August every year, she'd be canning tomatoes and tomato sauce and tomato soup and salsa and even some green beans, yes. And so she, in her basement, she had this beautiful, all these shelves full of Mennonite fast food just stored away for her. But the problem is, she had amnesia. And so she forgot what was stored for her in the basement and never knew to go down there and draw on it. Do you understand? Tucking it away and forgetting about it. She forgot who she was. She forgot her story. She had forgotten that before time began, if we make a, here, let's do this. This was not planned, but make a clicking sound like a clock, like the tick of a clock. Okay, now stop. Before time began, before the clicking of the clock, Grace was given to us now for this moment. We are not the only ones to limit God's grace to the outskirts of our daily lives. Timothy did this too. He struggled with it. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to have confidence because of who God is and because of God's abundant grace. Now, we can understand from Timothy's point of view that Paul, his mentor, is in prison again, not like the first time. The first time he was in prison, he was on house arrest. This time, he's chained, he's suffering. And the reason why he's suffering is because what he's said about Jesus being king and savior, that's gotten him into trouble with the government, and they're trying to shut him up. Except grace can't keep quiet. But Timothy doesn't know that yet. He doesn't understand. He thinks he needs to be quiet. He's scared and ashamed of what Paul has done. Speaking about Jesus, who did the ultimate shame of dying on a cross. Jesus did the ultimate shame. And Paul in prison is shameful for what he's done in prison, for being in prison. And Timothy's doing a quiet quit. He doesn't want any part of that. He's scared. And what Paul is saying is very important for each of us when we suffer. That Timothy can let his fears of shame and of suffering drive his life, or he can let the wind of God's grace, the anointing of the Spirit, lead him into new life. When our family was in Arizona a couple of summers ago, we went to a place called Antelope Canyon. Antelope Canyon is highly photographed. You may have seen pictures of it. It's a slot canyon, and the wind and the waves, or the wind and the water, for just millions of years have gone through this slot canyon and formed a wave-like pattern of the walls, the wind shaping what the walls have become. Well, we're in this beautiful place, and the light is streaming in, and it's just gorgeous, the patterns on the walls. But what I noticed, I never understood until this week why I noticed this tiny little insignificant, boring thing. There was this piece of tumbleweed. Do you know what tumbleweed is? A piece of tumbleweed at the entrance of the slot canyon. And as you go into the canyon, there was a wall here and a wall here, and so you had to go this way. But the tumbleweed had come in, and it's fighting the wind. It could have easily been blown out, but it's fighting against the wind, and it kept slamming up against the walls. Well, that's what we do instead of being led by the Spirit. We fight against it. Think about Paul in prison. He's chained, he's prisoned, and yet he is free. Because he knows the power of God's grace for him. He looks caught. He hears other people shaming him for being in prison. And yet he is living in line with the Holy Spirit. And that's leading. Because in God's world, the grace available to us doesn't come through a straw or a trough. God's grace for us is more like a cafeteria tray. Do you know what I mean? Do restaurants still have these? I know EMU's cafeteria has done away pretty much with the cafeteria trays. But you know, once you start to value grace, let's pretend you've got a tray here with liquid grace on it. And once you begin to understand it's valuable and you carry it through your day and you're trying, as you move throughout your day, you're trying to not tip it. You don't want any of it to fall out. And then picture yourself going to bed at night and you're holding onto this cafeteria tray, trying to hold on and not let any drops of the grace fall out and escape, and you wake up and you realize the grace has gone all over the floor. And it's gone all down the hallway, like that fantastic smell from the pancake breakfast this morning. It's just gone everywhere. Everywhere. That's what grace does. That's the world we live in. Instead of giving us a spirit of fear, God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-discipline or self-control. Different translations have different wordings for it. All three of which we need. So instead of feeling shame about our circumstances, we are able to suffer with hope. Instead of wondering how we're going to make all the changes needed to our lives, we allow the winds of the Holy Spirit to lead us. And grace gives us clues to realize that God is trustworthy. So let's make this practical. I want to give you a way to practice this week, if you're able. First, for every person here and online, see if you can answer this question just for yourself. What is God doing in your world right now? In your life, in your circumstances, or in something you see in the world? What is God doing right now? Let's come back to that at the sharing time, Linda. I'd love to hear. Another way you can think about it is, what grace has God given you right now? I believe God wants us to not waste that grace. We are in a sermon series right now of being intentional about how we live because Jesus is alive, because of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' new life transforms our lives now, and it is by grace. Grace is an unearned gift, undeserved. And our role is to guard that grace, according to this passage. Not out of fear. We're not guarding it out of fear. Remember, we've been given a spirit of power, love, and self-control. That's how we guard it. So whatever grace God has given you, value it. Grace was given to us before the beginning of time, and death does not have the last word. We get to have a reordered life now. And some of us are stretched thin and saying, I don't have any capacity to guard the grace right now. And actually, you're in the very best position to do so, because you are more likely to realize you can't do it on your own. And what you've been doing so far hasn't been working. The very best way to guard what we care about the most is entrust it to God. Let God have it. That's what this passage is saying. And it may feel like you're not doing anything. Don't believe that. Instead of being the tumbleweed fighting against the wind, we entrust ourselves and the people we love and our circumstances and our future and our past, our world. We entrust all of that to God, who is trustworthy. And when we do so, we can join with Paul in saying, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, or convinced, some translations say. I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted to him, unto him until that day. May we trust God's grace more and more in this place. Amen.